Hi, this is Eric Hassel with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We are in the School of Acts. This is the module on harvest. This is part one. And I tell you, we're going to get into this. And I believe that as we do, the book of Acts is going to come alive. It's not a history book, just a history book. No, as we begin to dissect the book of Acts and you begin to look into it, what is in this book? I believe you're going to see it's a blueprint. I believe the blessing of God upon the book of Acts is going to come upon you. It's going to overtake you. And I believe the end result of this school of Acts is that God is going to begin to raise up sons and daughters, manifesting the sons of God in the days that we live in. Let's open in a word of prayer and let's get started. Father, bless this time. Open our ears that we hear. Open our eyes that we see. Open our hearts that we receive. And Lord, I believe that this message of harvest, it's going to get into us so that we see something new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's get started with a couple verses to lay the foundation. Mark 1:17, Jesus said, "Come after me. I'm going to make you to become fishers of men." Mark that little phrase, "Come after me. I'm going to make you." Those two go together. When you follow Jesus, he makes you. Matthew 9:37, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful." There's a problem. He said, "The laborers are few." The answer, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers out into his harvest. James 5:7, "Be patient therefore, brothers, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. He has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain." Now, each of these three verses brings something very powerful to light. First of all, James declares that the heartbeat of the Father in planting the earth with men created in his image, sons and daughters, is that he wanted fruit. And he's patient for it. Now, he's very patient. He's been very patient with my life. He's been very patient with your life. He's been patient with everybody. That's the truth. He's patient for this harvest, this fruit. Every farmer who plants something, he doesn't plant a crop to look at it in the fields. He's thinking about the fruit. And that gives us access into the heart and the mind of God. He's thinking about the fruit. So therefore, we have to follow. The Lord said, "I'm going to make you." And he says, because laborers are few, he said, you're going to have to be praying about it. You're going to have to invest time in praying for these laborers. Okay? So now let's lay a better foundation here. Peter. Oh, I love Peter. Don't you love Peter? In Luke chapter 5, there's Peter. He's been fishing all night. Jesus shows up. There's a crowd of people. And he says, "Hey, can I use your boat?" The crowd was, they were grabbing on him. They wanted to be healed. They wanted the presence of God. So he gets into the boat. Peter's there listening. Now Peter's been up all night. He's tired. But the words of Jesus are burning in his heart. He's torn between two places, wanting to go to sleep, but totally awake because his heart is on fire. So Jesus is teaching, and then he stops and he looks at Peter. And he says, "Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep." So Peter begins to row, gets out into a deep place, and then Jesus speaks words to him that changes his life. "Peter, throw your net out for a catch of fish." Now, Peter was a fisherman. He'd been fishing all night, and you're supposed to fish at night, not in the daytime. And so his mind was totally conflicted. "I can't do that. This is crazy. You're just a prophet. I'm the fisherman here." And but you know what? Those words were burning in his heart. And he said, "Lord, at your word, I'm going to obey you." He throws the net out, and all of a sudden, it's a net breaking, a boat sinking, load of fish. He had never seen that before. And so they're trying to get the fish in, but Peter's not thinking about fish. His heart had been burning and burning and burning, and now he's totally stripped of himself in the presence of that miracle, and he's at the feet of Jesus, and he says, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm a sinful man, but it's best if you depart from me. and let me tell you, Jesus, he loves sinners. In fact, maybe while you're listening, maybe you think, well, I've done so many bad things in my life. Well, so did Peter. You're the person that Jesus is looking for to follow him. And he said, Peter, I want you to follow me. I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. And so those words, they went into Peter. They began to chart his destiny. But friend, those words began to chart the destiny of the book of Acts. And that's what we're going to get into. We're going to dive into the harvest of the nations, because there's still a harvest out there that has to come in. So I want you to open up your heart. I want you to begin to think. And I want you to say, Lord, increase my capacity for harvest. Let's go to number one, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. 3,000 souls. Let's look at it. They gladly received his word, and they were baptized, all these people listening. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Whew. Now, here's Peter. He's with Jesus. John chapter 14. The apostles are with him. And Jesus keeps talking about going away, about sending the helper, the comforter. And then he speaks words like this, John chapter 14. He said, the works that I do, you're going to do, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Now, Jesus wasn't saying, guys, you're going to do greater works than me. He didn't quite say that. He said, greater works are going to come because of where I'm going. I'm going to position myself to be so much a part of your life that greater works are going to manifest. Well, the disciples, I think it went over their head. Many of the things that Jesus said went over their heads. They didn't have a capacity to understand it. But they thought, those are pretty words. We like what you say, Jesus. They didn't understand it. I mean, think about it. Peter had watched Jesus walk on water. He tried it, and he didn't do a very good job at it. He watched Jesus break bread and feed multitudes. He never did that. He watched Jesus put sight into eyes, people who couldn't speak, cripples walking. And now Jesus is saying, greater works than these, you're going to do it. Well, here he is on the day of Pentecost. The power of God falls. People are praying in new languages. A huge crowd gathers outside, not just because of tongues, but there had been a sound like a violent, mighty wind coming down from heaven into Jerusalem. Let me tell you, this is an operation of God. It wasn't something the church was doing. There were a lot of key parts in this beginning harvest. Okay? The sound came from heaven. The power of God came down upon the church. The church is speaking in tongues, but they had never been in this place before. It was all new territory. So all of a sudden, Peter, he's like, well, I better stop and start speaking in Hebrew and give an account of what's happening. So he preaches to these people. The power of God falls upon the crowd, and they're convicted. And now they're crying out, what must we do? Well, you know the story. Peter preaches, and 3,000 people come to Christ that day. Now think about it. Peter had never watched men become born again in an altar call. This was new territory. It was new. Greater works. Peter isn't seeing eyes opened. Peter isn't seeing the dead being raised. He's watching the breath of God come into dead people and make them brand new, righteous in Christ. Can you imagine? I think he probably stopped and was thinking, here we are again. I'm in that boat, but it's not fish this time. It's the human fish. This net is breaking. The boat is sinking. All of a sudden, they have 3,000 new people all of a sudden going, we're here and we're ready to be Christians. It's amazing. This is the first harvest in the book of Acts. And I tell you what, you need to spend time studying this harvest. Now let's go to number two. And by the way, on that first harvest, there were three gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. First, the gift of faith. The Lord baptized the church personally in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That comes as a blessing. They received the blessing of Abraham, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now tongues are coming out of their mouth. They're speaking to people in their own dialects. That's a gift and operation of the Holy Spirit. And now a word of wisdom is operating in Peter, and he's talking about, this is for you, and it's for as many as the Lord is going to call. So that word of wisdom kind of opens things up in the hearts of people to realize, it's for me. New Testament doctrine is being written right there. This isn't just for us, it's for everybody. Whoa, my goodness, that's power. Now let's go to number two. The Lord adds daily. And in this one, I want you to make a little note. It's the Lord who adds to the church, not the evangelist, not the pastor, not the apostle. It's the Lord who adds. Whoa, let's take a look at it. Acts 2, 43 and 47. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, praising God, finding favor with the people. The Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Now, that little phrase, the Lord added daily to the church, what? That should be saved. He wasn't adding to the church as many, but as should be. The Lord truly is in charge of the harvest. He's very intimately involved. And I want you to think about that. If you're an evangelist or if you do evangelistic ministry, I want you to make sure that you've made room for the Lord to be intimately involved in what you're doing. Oh, he loves it. You know why? He wants to do it with us. He wants to walk with us and talk with us, and that we're not doing something for him, but doing something with him. And as these guys were going forth, they're realizing it's the Lord who's adding to the church. Think about that. It's not about how many souls you win to the Lord. It's about the Lord adding. And that is very, very important. Now, there were also the gifts and the power of God in operation upon the church. Now, here, the Bible doesn't really tell you specific examples of what was happening, but it does say the power of God, miracles and healings were going forth. And I tell you, it was breaking the atmosphere open so that this harvest, so that the Lord could add. Remember, miracles do not guarantee repentance, but they do break the atmosphere open. And in this situation, with that atmosphere being challenged, being changed, being broken by the power of God, the Lord begins to add to his church. Remember, it's the Lord who said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. The evangelist doesn't build the church. The pastor doesn't build the church. We have a part to play. The Lord said, I'm going to do it. He said, in the gates of hell, they are not going to prevail against what I build. So here we are. Power of God is flowing. The Lord's adding to the church. Let's go to number three. 5,000 men. Oh my goodness. The Bible says in Acts 4:4, many of them who heard the word believed. Now, they're preaching the gospel, aren't they? They're preaching. And the number of the men is about 5,000. In this situation, you had the gift of healing. A crippled man that everybody knew was completely healed. Very notable miracle, a miracle of healing, that is. And I'm using the word miracle in a general sense. But it was a gift, an operation of healing. And in this, You see the Lord through Peter establishing the place of faith in the name of Jesus in the local church. And let me tell you, these apostles depended upon the power and the authority of Jesus' name. He wasn't with them. They missed him greatly, but they realized he gave us his name. So we're going to cling to his name just like he is with us. And you see the power of God fall. And in this, 4,000 people, or excuse me, 5,000 men, 5,000 men come into the kingdom of God. I don't know how many women and children were involved, but that's the power of the name of Jesus. And on this third example of harvest, I want you to think about it. The place the name of Jesus has in the harvest. Now think about that. That place. That's why when we go out and we share Jesus with people, I don't always say God. I like to say Jesus loves you. I like to go right to his name and begin to believe that he's right there present in his love and he's speaking to that person. That's what we have to do. Now, let's go to number four. Multitudes of men and women, Acts 5:12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, verse 14. The believers were added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Multitudes. Here we see signs and wonders again. Now, it's by the hands of these apostles. They're going out with the power of God. They're preaching the name of Jesus. And as they're going out there, right, it's affecting the harvest. Now, in this particular harvest, I think you also have to note something else. Ananias and Sapphira had died. They were judged by the Lord. And when they were judged, the spirit of the fear of God came down upon the church. Whew. And the Bible doesn't kind of use the terminology, but I'm going to give you modern day terminology. Revival broke out under the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Have you ever experienced the spirit of the fear of the Lord? It causes you to tremble. It causes you to begin to acknowledge God. In fact, the Bible says everywhere these people went and told the story, the fear of God came down upon those hearing. They were turning to the Lord. They were being added, multitudes of these people, by the signs and the wonders and by the preaching of the judgment of Ananias and Sapphira through the spirit of the fear of God. Now, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord moved to and fro throughout the earth, looking that God could show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are turned towards him. Those eyes of the Lord are the seven spirits of the Lord found in Isaiah and found in the book of Revelation, where it talked about those seven eyes, those seven spirits of God that go forth into the earth. Well, one of those spirits is called the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So the point I want you to take away on this, as you study this, the fear of God is essential for harvest. Would the harvest here in Acts chapter 5, would that harvest have been the same if the church was mundane, a church that really didn't pray much corporately, a church that really wasn't hungry for the harvest, a church that, we've been here half an hour, everybody needs to get home. That the spirit of the fear of God isn't going to rest there unless God moves sovereignly. The spirit of the fear of God was essential for this harvest. And we must have that spirit in our congregations. Very, very important. So think about that. Let's go to the next one. The Bible says this is the fifth one. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, disciples were greatly multiplied in Jerusalem. It says this, and the word of God increased. The number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number or a great company of priests were added, and they became obedient to the faith. Ah, I love this one. The church had a problem, and the apostles realized we need to dedicate more workers to help us. And so I want you to think about adjustments. The church had to make adjustments in order to broaden the platform so that the word of God and the anointing of God could increase. When the church made these adjustments, a harvest came in. So I want you to think about it. In this first module, this first part of harvest, there are key things that we're talking about. First of all, adjustments that need to be made in the church. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. That's essential for this harvest. What about the place the name of Jesus has in the local church in the harvest? And of course, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of how those gifts are breaking the atmosphere open so that the Lord can add to his church. He's the one who adds. So here's the thing. As an evangelist, as I'm really a witness, my calling with the cross is to go and to be a witness and to plant nations with the seed of God's word. That's what I've been called to do. But I'm also called to teach. And what I come across is that there's a lot of concepts that I think are wrong, that we hope to overturn. First of all, how many people have you brought to the Lord? Well, you don't bring anybody to the Lord. It's the Lord that draws people. Number two, when it comes to these things, there's more than this, the evangelist involved here. First of all, it's the Lord who adds to the church. Number two, the spirit of the fear of God upon the church, the name of Jesus in the church, and how the Lord is the one adding to the church. I've had a lot of pastors say, well, an evangelist came through and nobody was added to the church. Well, that's maybe not the evangelist's fault. These are concepts we've got to put into our prayer life because it's the Lord who adds. It's the name of Jesus. It's the spirit of the fear of God. It's the gifts and the power of God breaking the atmosphere open so that people can think different. So I want you in this first module to begin to study, to go back over these scriptures and think about what we've been talking about. And we're going to pick up in the next part of the module on harvest with number six. And we're going to talk about the great company of priests. Okay. We're going to look at this, but we're going to pause for now. So listen, we love you. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. We got more information there. You can go up and hit training. You need to get training, how to talk to people about Jesus. We also have another button that says donate or give. And we're so thankful for our partners who stand with us as we carry the cross, as we teach and train people, believing God for a manifestation of the sons of God in this day and hour. We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.